Streaming live.
I cannot see your hand. See the other hand.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Freedom Law School's Freedom Hour. My name is Payman Mutahedeh. I am the founder and president of Freedom Law School and your host for this weekly program. I will cover tonight the topic of how you can stop the IRS from instantly taking any of your money. In other words, they cannot take your bank account, your paycheck, your commissions, nothing. Because the common thing everybody thinks out there is the IRS can come and just take your stuff. You know, they're such a powerful agency. They can come just take your stuff from you, you know, like that. Because they are the IRS. But that's not so. That is not the way the law works. I'm going to show you. But understanding the law, the rights, and the legal procedures, how it'll be years at a minimum before the IRS can take anything of yours, my friends. Your paycheck is safe, your bank account, your commission, anybody paying any money to you, your home, your business. Your business accounts, any of your money is completely protected if you know the things I'm going to show you tonight. So hang in there. Why? The things that I'll be sharing with you tonight will apply to everybody, whether you file and pay income tax or do not file and don't pay income tax. It doesn't matter. It applies to all of you. Before I get into that, you're probably wondering, well, Payman, who are you? What makes you an authority to tell me that you can keep the IRS for just taking my stuff? Like I've heard they raid people's homes and with guns coming at you. How do you know that? Well, I'm 57 years old. And I created Freedom Law School back in January 1st, 1996. For the last 24 years, I've been on a full-time basis researching, writing law, freedom-oriented law, tax law, constitutional issues. I've been the IRS myself, okay, personally, and have many of my students be the IRS. And I'll show that to you later on. But what I focused a lot is how to, since I was in the back, actually, 1994, I focused a lot more on the procedures and step-by-steps to beat the IRS, even more than the fundamentals of the IRS income tax law, because I found out and I felt that to help people give you real results, it's even more important to know what to do, when to do, and how to do it for you to win. So that's why Freedom Law School, I am the national expert in this country about IRS procedures and how to do it and how to not do it. So I'll show you in my screen in just a second what's going on with the IRS game and what to do. And at the end, I'll be happy to answer your questions and answers, which we uploaded as a separate video on YouTube and different various places that we broadcast the Freedom Hour every Thursday night at 7 p.m. So let's go to my screen. Here you see, folks, I use DuckDuckGo.com, not Google. Google's the enemy. They spy on you, record everything about you. At DuckDuckGo.com, you get privacy. Type in what I have here, okay? 26 space USC space 7421. That's now what you're looking at here, folks, is this, okay? There's federal law is called United States Code, or USC for short. There's 54 categories by subject matter of federal laws. Every category is a title. They call them USC for short. Category or Title 26 is the Internal Revenue Code, the federal tax laws, right here. You're looking at it, folks. Here's the federal tax laws. You know, my personal copy, which is, you know, over 10,000 pages, 10,000 sections, many more sections, toilet paper thin, and tiny fonts, tiny prints, right? That's the whole thing. So we're going to go look it up online right now. So 26 USC and then section of that law you're looking for, in this case, 7,421. We type that in. And then after space, I put house.gov to get the official version printed by the United States House of Representatives to show up. Okay? And then you go search. When you do that, the answer comes up, uscode.house.gov, that code section from the official source. And I have it opened up here for you already. And that, again, you see it here. Section 7,421, prohibition of suits to restrain assessment and collection. This is from the official United States House of Representatives website. Okay? And it's from subtitle F, Procedure and Administration. Chapter 76, Judicial Proceedings. Subchapter B, Proceedings by Taxpayers and Third Parties. And here's what this repulsive law says. You ready? Prohibition of suits to restrain assessment or collection. What does that mean? Well, what it means is here. It says, except as provided in these 13 sections. Don't worry about what these 13 sections are, okay? Except as provided in these sections, no suit, which means lawsuit or court case, for the purpose of restraining, which means slowing down in any way, stopping or slowing down, restraining the assessment or collection of any tax, shall be maintained in any court by any person. And that means if they want to assess a tax, determine a tax against you, you cannot go to court. They want to collect a tax from you, you cannot do that. Government can take your money, period. Okay? You cannot go to any way for the purpose of stopping or slowing down, restraining the assessment or collection of any tax by any person, whether or not such person is the person against whom such tax was assessed. Even if it's the wrong guy. You have to use one of these 13 specific sections to stop the IRS. So, that's a pretty horrible law. Okay? And I've covered that before because the Internal Revenue Code was written for the, you know, Washington, D.C., which the federal government has absolute totalitarian authority to do what they want to do. That's why it's like that. But that's another topic I covered last week on the April 9th, 2020 edition of the Freedom Hour. So check that out to see that how that works. But here we're going to focus on some of the key sections that are listed here right now. We're going to focus on section 6212A and C, 6213A, and we're going to focus on section 6330. Okay. We need to go to those sections, look at them right now. We're going to search now, 26 USC 6612. Put house.gov at the end, search it, and the answer comes up number two. The first one, I don't want it. It's okay, Cornell Law University website, but I'd rather go to the House of Representatives website first, okay? So open that link in a new tab, and here it is, okay? Notice of deficiency, okay? And here, again, it says from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Procedure, Administration, okay? And we're going to go down to notice of deficiency, folks, okay? And so what does it say? It says, if the secretary determines that there is a deficiency, which means shortage, with respect to any tax imposed, okay, whatever, by subtitle A or B, he's authorized to send notice of such deficiency to the taxpayer by certified or registered mail. Now, that's very important, folks, okay? Why does it say that, okay? It says that, folks, because the fact is that this section says if government believes there is a shortage of any kind in a tax that you owe, the IRS must send you a letter giving you a notice that there is a deficiency or shortage of tax. Okay? So officially they must have this sent to you by certified mail. Of course, this was done obviously because it's such a critical document that Congress wanted to make sure that there's proof that it was sent to you. It's equal to same way what if in a regular court of law you want to sue somebody, you have to file a lawsuit in a court. A copy of that lawsuit must be given to the defendant, the person you're suing, not by you, but by a third person. To, you know, and then that third person file a piece of paper with the court saying, I swear I gave a copy of the lawsuit to the other guy, and also in a summons that the clerk issued, he was ordered to answer by 20 or 30 days time allowed by law to respond and defend himself. Here, Congress said none of that is needed. Just send a letter, the notice by certified mail. It could be $1 of tax or $1 billion of tax. It doesn't matter. It has the same process, must take place. All the IRS audits you hear about, they're all worthless, toothless piece of trash. Do not respond to any audits. You don't have to. You can wait for the notice of deficiency and take it from there. So when that happens, folks, by the way, it's important that you know something very important. Let's go to my screen. Okay. It says in B, address for notice of deficiency. Okay. It says that notice of a deficiency in respect of a tax imposed, right? It says right here, got to be mailed to a taxpayer at his last known address. If he does that, it should be sufficient. Okay. So if it is mailed at a last known address, it shall be sufficient. Okay, and you have to let them know what your last known address is, unfortunately, basically. You must write a letter to the IRS by certified mail and keep a copy of the letter and a certified proof on your 1040 income tax confession form or change of address for the post office that you must keep proof of in your files. Okay, so that's what you're going to do. What's next is this. Section 6213, which we looked up, same as the last code section, and opened it up for you. Here it is. And the next section, one of it says that time for filing a petition and restriction on assessment. Okay? It's about petitions to tax court. Okay? It says within 90 days or 150 days if the notice is addressed to a person outside of the United States, okay, after the notice deficiency is authorized in Section 6212 is mailed, okay? Okay? It says what? The taxpayer may file a petition with the court for a redetermination of the deficiency. You can go to the court to redetermine the tax. Okay, and it says, except as otherwise provided in those few sections, which we don't care about, no assessment of a deficiency in respect to any tax, okay, and no levy or proceeding in court for its collection shall be made, begun, or prosecuted until such notice has been mailed to the taxpayer. This is big. You have to understand, folks. Levy means taking your money by force, right? Levy is taking your money by force. And it says here that no levy, no taking of your money or proceeding or action in court for collection of a tax shall be made, begun, or prosecuted until such notice has been mailed to the taxpayer, to you, right? It's a powerful thing. That means the IRS, before they come after you, they must issue a notice of deficiency. You have a chance to go to tax court within 90 days or 150 days if you live outside the United States. And if you do go do that, IRS cannot assess or determine the amount of tax against you. And they cannot do any kind of taking your money. No levy, no taking your money by force. Period. You're protected until you're done, of course, with the tax case. And that's something very important that people do not understand of this. Okay, in fact, let's look at this something further. Okay, on this. Look at this. Notwithstanding the provision of Section 7421A, which I read to you, which IRS can take all your stuff, you cannot stop them in court. Remember that first section? The IRS can take your stuff in court. Nobody can stop them. Here's the exception to that law. The making of such an assessment or beginning of such proceeding or levy during the time of such prohibition in force may be enjoined by proceeding in the proper court, including a tax court, and a refund may be ordered by such court of any amount collected within the period during which secretary is prohibited from collecting by levy or through a proceeding in court under provisions of this subsection. Okay. Sorry, guys. The language is not written the easiest way. I'll make it easy for you to understand. Here's what it says, basically. While you're in the tax court, you petition the tax court to challenge the IRS's tax proposal. Even though normally you cannot stop the IRS from taking your stuff, here IRS cannot take your stuff. And if they do, bookkeepers don't know about that. Accountants do not know about it. Certified public accountants and CPAs don't know about it. Tax lawyers know about it, but there are very few and very expensive. It's not worth it for you to pay them off to defend you, assuming they're competent, knowledgeable, or honest to begin with. So, this is what you guys do. That's step one. So, if the IRS comes with a proposal, you can go to tax court. And when you go to tax court, you can appeal that to the court of appeal if you lose it. I mean, a tax court case. By the time you file the case, by the time it's over, it could be 1 year, typically, year and a half, 2 years, or even longer, depending on many factors. But I would say typically, at least, you know, if you really do everything right, year and a half. If you get a notice deficiency, it takes that much time, okay? So during that time, you're protected. The IRS cannot take your money, period. So you can stop them, bam, from taking your stuff. Because you know about the law, okay? Let's go to another court section. What happens after tax court? What if you lose tax court? Well, folks, that's the beauty of America's system of law. In America, we don't have a system of law like many countries of the world. The government comes and just takes your stuff, and you're a slave. You have to go get it back. In America, generally, before they find you guilty of a crime, they put you in prison, execute you, or take your money. Same thing. There has to be an accusation, and you have to have a trial before a judge, court, or an independent kind of an arbitrator person. You have a hearing, like a court case type of a thing. You get to challenge it. And if you're ruled against, you get at least one level of appealing that decision, challenging that decision to a higher level authority or court. So at least you have two levels of court or court-like process to protect you from government just come Boop. Just took your bank accounts. Whoop. We just took your paycheck. In America, you cannot do that. The government must issue, when it comes to taxes, a notice of deficiency. You have 90 days, 3 months almost, sometimes not 3 months, it's 90 days, to challenge them in tax court, and the tax court process itself could take a year or two in which you're protected. And if you lose, guess what? You can appeal that to the Federal Court of Appeal. Yes, you can appeal that to the Federal Court of Appeal. Okay. Now, there's a lot of stuff here I'm going to kind of cut through quickly because we don't want to, you know, I don't want to waste your time. But it's important that you know that you have these rights. So if you go to Court of Appeal, what happens there, folks? Well, here it is, folks. I'm going to look up on screen section 7481. Okay. And here it comes up. And I'll open that link in a new tab for you already. This is date when the tax court decision becomes final. Okay. What does it say? In A, reviewable decisions, except as provided in section so-and-so, the decision of the tax court shall become final. Okay, one. Notice of appeal not filed. Well, if you don't file an appeal, okay, you run out of time. Okay? Okay? Or decision affirmed or appeal dismissed. See? Okay, so basically when the case was lost on appeal. That's what it says. That's what this means, basically, folks. I'm not going to read all this legal mumbo jumbo for you. Sorry. They don't write it in the most easy to understand ways, but that's what it says. Read it. Okay. There's no question about this. Okay. In fact, you can even go to Supreme Court, and even sometime after that, you have a little more time also. Okay. So basically, you got to go to Court of Appeal. Okay. Now, here's the thing about this. IRS can't collect potentially. Until 1999, they could have collected after the tax court case was done. Now they have a thing called collection due process hearing before they take your money. Yes. First of all, so when you lose a tax court case, if you appeal to the Federal Court of Appeal, you file your appeal in tax court and it's sent it to the Court of Appeal, Federal Court of Appeal where you live, there the appeal will take probably another year or so before they rule for you or against you. So here already we have 2 years or more, 3 years or more, before IRS can take any of your stuff, worst case scenario. You have time to prepare. No instant surprises, right? But there's more. IRS, before they take your stuff, they have to issue another letter called a final notice of intent to levy and notice of your right to a hearing. Right to a hearing. Okay, and we're going to go look that up right now under the law. Okay, so here we are. We're going to look up here section 6330 at house.gov. Answer is already here. We opened up that link in a new tab. Here's right here. What is it about? Notice an opportunity for hearing before levy. Levy's taking your money by force. Before levy, you have a right to a hearing, right? So what does it say in subsection A1? No levy, which means no taking of your money, may be made on any property or right to property of any person. Ooh, I like that, folks. I like the sound of that, don't you? It's a reverse of section 6421, that you cannot stop them in court. It's a reverse. No levy may be made on any property or right to property of any person unless the secretary, which means the IRS, has notified such person, which would be you, in writing of their right to a hearing under this section before such levy is made, before they take your money under this section, they must give you in writing a notice and give a right to a hearing. Okay, and it says here that the notice required under this paragraph, it shall be, must be, given in person or left at the dwelling or usual place of business of such person, your home or work, basically, or sent by certified or registered mail, return receipt requested to such person's last known address. They added return receipt requested to that law. Not just certified, but return receipt requested. And not less than 30 days before the day of the first levy with respect to the amount of tax, of the unpaid tax for the taxable period. They have to wait at least 30 days to give you a chance to ask for hearing before they can levy. So if you ask for a levy, then the IRS, they do not get to take anything from you, period. Okay? And it says in subsection B, right to a fair hearing, if the person requests the hearing in writing, right? And the state states the grounds for the requested hearing. It says the reason why you want a hearing, which could be many reasons. Such hearing shall be held by the Internal Revenue Service Independent Office of Appeals. Okay, right? So they got to give you a hearing, and you get one hearing per tax period. You get an impartial officer you've never been involved in your case before. And in C, the matters of issues concerning the hearing. Okay? What is my favorite? Requirement of investigation. Ooh, I like that. Why? Because the burden of proof is on the government, on the IRS, not you. That's the beauty of this. Check this out. The appeals officer shall at the hearing obtain verification from the secretary that requirements of any applicable law or administrative procedures have been met. Not you, the IRS appeals officer. Okay? And issues of the hearing are required, but you can bring up a lot of different kinds of stuff. We don't have to go over that right now. It's all there. Okay? And you can even challenge the underlying liability, underlying tax. Okay? You could do that if the person did not receive any notice of deficiency for such tax liability or did not otherwise have an opportunity to dispute such tax liability. What is this? This is the catch-all law that says if for some reason you did not get an opportunity to challenge a tax because you did not receive the notice deficiency, maybe you moved to a new address, maybe you forgot to give the IRS your new address, maybe the IRS sent the wrong address, whatever, you can challenge the tax liability here. By the way, one of the procedures IRS must investigate here, which I like, yeah, for verification is the fact that obtained verification is the IRS issued you a notice of deficiency properly as required by the law. That's one example of issues you can bring up at the hearing, but the other procedures IRS must follow also. I'm just giving you one example because we saw one procedure the IRS must follow earlier. Okay? So check this out, folks. This process of collection due process hearing itself, based upon my experience, takes typically about 7 to 12 months to complete, maybe longer. Year, two, I've seen it 2-3 years to take sometimes, also. So here we got more time the IRS must stop, refrain, hold back from any collection until they give you the chance to ask for hearing and challenge the IRS. And guess what? You can appeal that to the tax court on top of that. Check this out, folks. Let's go down further, okay? We'll go down here to D, proceedings after the hearing, petition for review by the tax court. The person may, within 30 days of a determination. Determination is a ruling by the IRS appeals against you. or for you, but against you, of course, you want to challenge me. Okay? Petition the tax court for review of such determination. Okay? See? Within 30 days, you can appeal for review what the IRS ruled against you, and there's a suspension. Okay, and then guess what? So here it is. Here it is, E, suspension of collections. I like that. Suspending collection. Okay. So basically, folks, this is a long section. What basically all this stuff is that while you're in this case, okay, now let me say something, folks. Bottom line is that is you're going to go to tax court. That means that when you're in tax court, they cannot collect because you're given the right to review it by tax court. So while you're in tax court, the IRS cannot take your stuff. Okay? That's critical. The IRS cannot take your stuff while you're not. Okay? So here's, in fact, it talks about that suspension of collections. It's that limitations. Now, this next section, let me get to the relevant part of that because it's a little bit, hard to understand here, okay? But except as provided above, if a hearing is requested, okay, the levy actions which are subject to hearing requested and the running of any period of limitations, okay, shall be suspended for a period during which such hearing and appeals are pending. That's if the IRS were to come after you for other cases. They can come after you longer. Okay? That's what that is. Okay? All right. So, remember why you ended not. When you go to tax court, you go under this appeal to tax court under section 7481. Look it up, section 7481. You know, look up this section. 7481 says what happens when the tax court decision becomes final, when the tax court rules against you, how does that happen? Well, this section says that, okay, except as otherwise provided in these sections A, C, and D, the decision of the tax court shall become final, right, upon the expiration of the time allowed for filing a notice of appeal. If no such notice has been duly filed within such time, which is 90 days, you have 90 days to challenge the tax court case to court of appeal. So the 90 day after tax court decision is gone, you do nothing, they can collect. But if you do ask for a hearing, then what happens? Well, let's look at this. Decision affirmed or appeal dismissed. Upon expiration of the time allowed for filing a petition for petitioner certiorari. This means after you've been ruled against. That's what that means. Okay? If the decision of the tax court has been affirmed or appeal dismissed by the United States Court of Appeals and no petition for certiorari has been duly filed by the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay? That's the most important part is that you got to go to the Court of Appeal completely. And if you petition your Supreme Court, they still cannot come after you. Okay. What's the point of all this, folks? You can read all this stuff later in more detail. I don't want to get into too much detail. Bottom line is, you got notice deficiency. No, it takes a year to go to tax court. A year to go to Court of Appeal. 2 years. IRS must issue a collection due process hearing, and you get a hearing with the IRS appeals officer plus another year. And then you can go to tax court another year. And then you go to federal court of appeal another year. 5 years potentially. 5 years. By law, you have before the IRS can take any of your money, not even $1. And I showed that to you. So why is it that in America, people have this attitude like, IRS can just come and take your stuff. And they do. Seize your bank account. Paycheck, commissions. Anybody that owes you money, they can go and take your money from them. They can't. The problem is, as I said, very, very few people know this. So Freedom also has become the authority about this stuff in the whole country. I've had lawyers, tax specialist lawyers, who called me and asked me how this stuff works. You don't believe me? Call Donald McPherson. He's a bar certified tax law and criminal law specialist. He calls me about this stuff. The famous tax freedom constitutional lawyer, Larry Beecraft, I taught him this stuff. I taught also Sean O'Connor about this stuff, Dave Willington, and others about this stuff, how it works. Okay? Because I got into this stuff at the early stage and I did a lot of cases over the decades to understand the game, how it goes. So you should take advantage of your rights in the law to prevent the IRS from just coming and taking your stuff. Okay? So now I know some of you say, well, Paymon, you seem to know this stuff really down good. But to me, it's a lot. I'm not like you, Paymon. I don't understand all this mumbo jumbo, what to do. You know, I don't like the confrontation, court. I thought I'm comfortable. I don't want to see a judge inside of a courtroom. What do I do? What can I do? Can you help me out? Years ago, my goal was to help people do it themselves, and that's what I did. From 1994 to 2001, I used to just teach people as much as possible to do things yourself. But people kept coming to me in late 90s and year 2000, 2001, needing and wanting my help. Say, Paymon, I want you to do it for me, please. I'd rather, instead of learning all this stuff, just pay you, you do it for me. And I'm the kind of person, I like to help people to help themselves, show them how to fish for themselves rather than fishing for them. So I was reluctant. But I realized that some people really want that or need that. They say, Paymon, just please, I'll be happy to pay you. You take care of it for me. So I did. And what I did, I came up with these programs, folks, on Freedom Law School's website. Okay. So let's go to my Freedom Law School's webpage, livefreenow.org. Livefreenow.org. And under course packages, folks, okay, you can double-click on that. I came up with these various options you have available. First of all, you can ask questions, folks, for free. On this Freedom Hours, like right now at the end, you can ask questions. I'll help you for free. Okay? Take advantage of that. Like I'll show on our website. Okay? It says right here under Freedom Hour, if you click on that, it tells you right there if you have questions, you know, you can, ask questions. Okay, and that you can mail up to 10 pages of any paperwork, and I'll go over for you at the end of the free hour, like tonight. Okay, so but if you want a personal consultation, under Get Quick Help, it's available paid consultation also. That's an option you have available. Okay, so but however, other than that, the other most common thing people want is a program where it just keeps the IRS off your back. Make sure that you do all the right stuff and you avoid the common mistakes that most Americans make, filer or non-filer. Even though I believe and say there is no law requiring IRS average American to file income tax, this stuff works for filers or non-filers alike. It's a law that applies to everybody. So here it is, folks. I created this program first for non-filers because there is no law, in my opinion, and I've researched, you've seen on my other YouTube channel videos and our website, that the whole income tax system is a fraud, is a scam to enslave you and steal your money illegally. Regardless of that, that's the way it is. I decided to also help filers if you really want me to help you, but filers have a much more difficult time because you put the burden of proof on yourself by filling out the 1040 income tax confession form. So well, here we go back to my screen, folks. You open the course packages, and here we go, the Royal Freedom Package, Simple Freedom Package, Beginners, Quick Start Freedom Packages, and Level 1 course, okay? Level 1, of course, is the foundation of all the stuff, you know, with the 90-day money-back guarantee to teach you law and procedures to empower you to live free now. What I showed you more is in these classes. 9 classes together in one with a free 90-day rental. That's right. Free rental. The $300 you spend for the course is all your deposit. With the $20 shipping and handling, you will get your money back. If you don't like it, in every way, you get the $300 back because I want you to love it. I want to work for you. You'd be happy for it, okay? And you can buy it, you can now stream it online at this website. Right here at the bottom line is a link to it, folks. Where now you can listen to this course from your car, from your personal computer, smartphone. Okay? Yeah, you, with the password they'll give you, and you can listen to level one course as you drive in your car. Okay? Now we go back to course packages. These are options. Check it out, folks. The ultimate one everybody wants is the Royal Freedom Package, the Peace of Mind Insurance. Other ones in between. Everything here is done for you. Everything. Okay? And particularly from our strike with you in jail, everything will be done for you at a flat rate annual membership fee. It's all described here in detail. We do it all for you. It gets emailed to you. You sign and mail it and give us a signed copy. Response will be sent to you. And it's only the only program in the whole world that's like this. Only 8,000. Only this year it's going to go up. It's going to go up before end of this year. Yes, it is going to go up. It's due to go up. And each of the rafters is only 4,500 for Californians and 4,000 for others. This is going to probably go up next year, but not now. Okay. Anyhow, it's all there, folks. You can check out and get started out if you are interested in that. You go there, see the application, details about the Royal Freedom Package. It's all there. Here's a fine print you should read. Call if you have any questions whatsoever. Call 813-444-4800. And here you see the application you can fill out and send it with cash only to Freedom Law School. No checks. No money orders to our address in Brooksville, Florida. Okay. So, folks, but you don't have to get that stuff. Just know this basic stuff. Become a subscriber to our YouTube channel. Hit the bell button and get all of our notifications or our Freedom Hour presentations like this. I want to help as many of you for free as possible. Understand that? I know many of you are making only minimum wage. Or sub-minimum wage. You don't have much money to pay for me or anybody else to help you. So I'm trying to put as much as possible on our YouTube channel, on our website at livefreenow.org. Put it on the screen, folks, our website. So you can help yourself as much as possible. That's my goal. I cannot help hundreds of millions of people myself. Okay? Or even a million people by myself. Okay? So my goal is to help as many of you as possible. However, I know some of you who make over $40,000, $50,000 a year or more or a lot more, you say, hey, Mom, this is nothing. Only $4,000 a year. Look, I was talking to a doctor just last week. She makes about $600,000, $700,000 a year. Pays over $200,000 of taxes. To her, this was a nothing. Okay, so it's not for all of you. I understand that. So it's an option available. So check all this stuff out. Folks, and anyhow, let me go to your questions, folks. We're going to go to your question and answer session about this right now. Well, Debbie likes to thank me for taking my time. I appreciate that. Debbie, thank you very much for your comment. Let's see. And Odali Nova, Noda all said, thanks me. Thank you. Thank you for listening, my friend. What you can do, folks, is to share this. Share this with as many people as you know, the presentation you just saw. Let people to have rights. Okay? So let's keep this in the presentation, folks, and question and answer start a minute. I want people to know this first before we go to question and answers, folks. You need to share this with other people. People don't know this stuff. Look, my student, Joe Bannister, former special agent, some of you know, he didn't know this stuff. I talked to Sherry Jackson, former agent, right? Didn't know how to handle IRS. She was telling me, I don't know what to do. I said, share this thing you can do. Let me show you. You need to share this information with people that in America, we still have rights, and you can win. Oh, and I forgot to show you that it works. Sorry. Let me show you it works. I'm going to give you two examples, okay? Okay. So let me show you first of all, you need to go on our website and get request your Freedom Catalog. Okay. This beautiful 32 pages of quality gloss, four-color catalog. You got to order it, folks, okay, for free. Well, how do you get it? To read it at your convenience, whatever you are, go to Freedom Blossom's website, folks. I'll show you on the front page, home page, and on the here it is. You go down, sign up for your free Freedom Education Package now. Okay, you can call us if you have questions. And fill out this information on the right side, right here, all your contact, email information, all that. And click on this orange color button, and I will send you your free Freedom Education Package, absolutely free. You get this Freedom Catalog mailed to you and these lessons that you sign up, many more every week. You're going to get this unique education emailed to you so you'll know about law and your rights, okay? So, folks, you all should sign up for that now. Now, let me tell you how this stuff works. I'll give you some examples. Look on the right side to our victories, okay? First, I'm going to one of my students' victories, IRS victories, okay? On the IRS victories, there's a lot of victories, folks, I could post it here. Many, many different ones. I'm going to take you to my favorite one, the biggest one I got, which in our field catalog, I mention it. But here, I'll show you the actual case, which is $4.6 million right here. On the Freedom Law School beats IRS for not following proper procedures, go to number four, case number four. Leon contacted Paymont at Freedom Law School following assessment of taxes of over $4.6 million. Yes, $4.6 million. Okay. And what happened is that it was for tax years 96 to 97, over $4.6 million. Okay. And guess what, folks? It was zeroed out. Okay, here it is. I'll show you the actual documentation. We blacked out his information of Leon's case. Here it is. Notice the federal tax lien filing and your right to a hearing. In a lien case, they have to do that also. Here is the type of tax. 1040 for years 96, 97 was $4.6 million combined. $2 million for 1 year. The other one was $2.6. The other one, which was $6,700, $1 million. We beat that another time later on, by the way. And this time, we didn't do this one at this time. But anyhow, so here is, folks, $4.6 million was zeroed out. We asked for a hearing. Okay, and he was to ask his hearing request by 2005 sometime. This was exhibit in a case, in a court case, exhibit B, okay? Because we went to tax court over this stuff, okay? So, here is the victory document of Leon. Let's zoom into it a little bit bigger. Here is United States Tax Court. Okay, decision. What does it say? It is ordered and decided that the determinations, oops, a little too big, determination set forth in the notice of determination concerning collection actions under Section 6,320 and or 6,330 issued to petitioner on September 12, 2006 for petitioner's income tax liability for taxable years 1996 and 1997 and upon which this case is based are not sustained. In other words, what the IRS ruled against him is not agreed upon. It's not sustained. Don't you love the way these judges, when they rule against the IRS, they say it in such a soft way that you don't get the feeling that the IRS got beat. But the IRS got their butt kicked hard. $4.6 million. They say the determinations set forth against this guy are not approved or sustained. Huh. That's what it is. In 2010. Okay, this was put on there. This case is so old. I think I'm going to put the name of the judge on there next time. It's such an old case. Right? We can put it up there. So, you see, it works, folks. We did this process. It was a collection due process hearing here. How this $4.6 million was zeroed out. And on top of that, a few months later, the California Franchise Tax Board, who would come after him for over $1 million, Facebook IRS taxes, they zeroed out that over $1 million as well, which make a note about that for me, Benny. We need to add it here today also. So I got that. I'm going to add this on here, okay? So it's over $5 million with zero to have. Okay, so that's one. Another one is myself. Folks, you should know, I'm a big target of the IRS. I've been under criminal investigation by the IRS since 1993, or civil investigation, or abusive tax or promotion, or parallel, at the same time, multiple investigations. Why? They want to shut me up. They don't want me to teach the truth. The crooks in the IRS management and Department of Injustice lawyers who want to enslave you, steal your money, they don't want you to know. They don't want you to be free. They want to shut me up. They haven't been able to do so. But guess what? It's not because they didn't try. They came after me for about $700,000 for over 10 years of taxes in 2009. And I went through the process that I showed you, collection due process hearing, and it was zeroed out. I'm going to go through that quickly because I'm going to get your questions, okay? Let's go to my screen, okay? And here we go under Freedom Law School, under our victories, go to FLS, Freedom Law School Victories. Okay, and I got several, but this one, victory number three, is how it beat the IRS in their $700,000 case, right? In December 2009, it started. Okay, and finally, in November 2011, IRS reversed themselves. First time they ruled against me, I had to come back after them again. And the IRS appeals officer said it has been determined that the tax assessments against Paymon should be abated or removed. And the notice of federal tax lien withdrawn, removed. And December 2011, the tax court, either the IRS withdrew it, and the IRS appeals officer ordered the IRS to withdraw the liens against me. And in November 2012, the tax court also affirmed it. All these links, you see, the blue hyperlinks, check them out. It's all for real. I'm not kidding. Here's one of them. Just one. You can open the rest for yourself because I'm not making this stuff up, folks. This letter sent to me, Paymon Motea, do you see that? On the left, from Cincinnati, Ohio, IRS office, December 29th. 2011, okay? And it says right here that the Internal Revenue Service previously filed a notice of fraud tax lien against your property. This notice is being withdrawn under provisions of the Internal Revenue Code. Right? There it is. And close the copy of the form, whatever, withdrawal of filed notice of fraud tax lien that we mailed to a local recording office for filing. Yep. You may present the form to any credit reporting agency, financial institution, or other creditor you deem appropriate. Yeah, the liens are gone. Signed by Director of Campus Compliance Operations. And here it is, folks. This is just one page of Department of the Treasury Internal Revenue Service withdrawal of filed notice of federal tax lien. That was filed against my name, Pema Montaede, in Phelan, California. And you see, we go down a little bit more. The contacts on the left is employment taxes, right? So security taxes for tax periods of 1997 to 2009. And assessed dates in 2009, the fourth column from the left. On the right, last column is unpaid balance of assessment. And this page is 99,000. 99,000 is all withdrawn, remember? And look, page after page of these liens, folks. Another withdrawal. There it is. Here we go. We go down. Here it is, folks. Here, another letter. Another page. Okay? And there's so many pages, folks, you know, of withdrawal of all this tax thing. I mean, there's so many of them because they came out pretty big. And usually one page, all the liens are listed on there. This is multiple pages. And I beat them. So, if I can do it, folks, you can do it too. The law is there. They tried very hard against me. But you, to them, are not as big of a target as I am. So take advantage of these things, folks. Take advantage of your rights. Okay? Because, you know, you are not a slave. You're meant to be free. You have a right guaranteed to some kind of a due process, some kind of a challenge in them in court or court-like setting and appeal that, you should use it. So make sure, folks, you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Okay, we're going to be on Brighteon and BitChute, other places as well. Become a Facebook Federal Freedom Law School and tell your friends about it. Forward this to people you know on social media, your friends, email to them. Let them check it out so they can be free like you. Okay? All right, folks. I'm going to go to your question and comments now and your questions. Thank you for listening to me for the presentation. Let's get to your questions. All right. Let's see what we got here. Now, AGP says, have you looked into the change in government being national socialism? Does it change the Constitution, or is a change coming to the Constitution coming? Well, I'm not sure what you mean by national socialism, but America is already a socialist nation. What are you talking about, bud? Where do you think Social Security is? Socialism, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, all this stuff, disability, where do you think they are? When you go to a county hospital or clinic and they take care of you for free, the money comes from state, county government, or federal government. It's all socialism. So we already have socialism, okay? Sadly, we got to get back to a freedom America. Nick asked, the UCC-1 form, does it have anything to do with that? Great question, okay? I'm going to take you to our YouTube channel presentation on this topic because it's very good. This is why our YouTube channel is so useful to you. And Nick and everybody, check it out. Okay, let's go to my screen. I'll show you. First, go to Freedom Law School's website, as always, right? Then go to Freedom Hour. Click on the Freedom Hour. Then go on YouTube link or Brighteon, whatever will be coming on our broadcast sources, which we're expanding. Now, for example, here we are on the YouTube, on the videos is there. Here is the previous Freedom Hours I've done. Most recent listed. Scroll down and find the topic that is of interest to you. And there is one I did on Uniform Commercial Code on here in the last year, which I'm going to show you how you can listen to it and address that for you. For example, I'll talk about acceptor for value here. It was 4 months ago, right? And oh, there we go. Look, on here we go. Here we go, 7 months ago. Can UCC protect your rights and property from IRS is addressed in detail here. The short answer is no. It's a baseless patriot mythology theory, as baseless as the Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny. But don't believe me. Watch that presentation, which was done on what date? I'll open it for you, give you the exact date of that presentation, which was done on see live on September 12, 2019. Okay, so watch that, September 12, 2019, and I'll answer your question in more detail, my friend, okay? All right, let's see now. We got a lot. I get lots of love from you guys. I appreciate all the love. Thank you, all of you guys, with your loving messages. I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, you don't know how I appreciate you guys. You know, that means, but it means more to me, folks, if you just take that love and pass it to others. That is the ultimate act of love, is when you give it out to people. Even when they don't want to hear it, give them a chance. Give them a shot. You know, I was in the store today and talking about the coronavirus hoax. And the guy right away had this closed language, body language, and blah, 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 blah. And I didn't like it because I felt rejected, you know? And I'm trying to educate the guy who had mask on. It was a store owner, for heaven's sakes. You know, all the people had mask on their face. But what? It was hoax. When I was walking out, you know, I was thinking, contemplating, you know, yeah, I felt rejected. But you know what? Bottom line is, I did what I did because I loved the man. I cared for him. He was suffering from all his restrictions, all his fear. And I talked to him because I loved him. I cared about him. If I didn't give a rat's whatever thing about him, I would have just said nothing. Let you suffer from your ignorance. So after reminding myself why I talked to the man that wasn't willing to listen to me, I felt a lot better. I knew in my heart I'd done the best I could. Now, that doesn't mean I couldn't have come up with a better response, said something different. Of course, always that exists. But I knew that from my heart, I was coming from the right place, which is love for the man that didn't want to receive it. That's all you can do, give love, right? It's up to them to accept it or not. Okay, let's go to other questions. Dale's book says that Congress is worthless and we the people do not recognize and do not accept any illegal taxes. Yeah, that's a good point there. I cannot dispute you, my friend. The Federal Reserve Bank is now nationalized with the U.S. Treasury and dissolved the IRS. Now, I get a little too far, my friend. I wish that was the case. It's not the case. I wish. Okay. And let's go to, do you think the IRS will be dissolved? Well, hopefully that's my goal. It's my plan. And let me say something, folks. I got to tell you something. I'm putting together, folks, a new package of letters to the IRS to the Congress, the owner of the IRS, to confront Trump and tell him they got to stop the IRS, Department of Injustice, and even the judges illegally breaking the law they wrote and misapplying the law and robbing you of your money with the income tax. That doesn't apply to you. And you all want to write that to your congressman, okay? Believe me, it'll protect you, and it's a right thing to do like the founding fathers did, folks, okay? So it's good coming up in the next few months, folks. So hang in there, okay? On Facebook, Ali says, warts the wise, U.S. tax court does not have jury trials. That is very true, Ali. You are absolutely correct, my friend. Okay? This leaves it up to the judge. The federal district court is your alternative to kangaroo U.S. tax court. Well, you don't get in district court, any federal court for civil money damages, money issues, you never get jury trial. Only if they want to put you in prison. In tax cases, you get a jury trial. So, but believe it or not, the tax court judges, I've had more luck with tax court judges ruling against the IRS than the federal district court judges. I think because tax court judges are more knowledgeable about the tax law, they're not so afraid of the IRS. Like, I don't know tax law, but the tax judge at least feels comfortable with tax law. That's been my experience, anyhow. Okay. Now, Frank Lemon, you have an illegal garnishment on your wages from the IRS. And because of the pandemic, you can't get a release because the IRS is shut down and can be reached to reach the levy. Okay? And you're getting only 40% of your check. Is there anything that can be done? Yes. Yes, of course there is multiple things. But there's no silver bullet that I can give you without knowing details about your case to do this. It's like you call and you say, I had a heart attack, doc. It really hurts still. I had it 5 days ago. I'm in bad shape still. Can you help me? Yeah. Doctor can help you. But don't you go to see a doctor for a professional visit, analysis, examination, some tests, okay, and maybe further tests to see what you got going on and how to fix it? Well, that's what I do. So that's where you want to go, okay, Frank Lemon. Up to 10 pages you could send tonight, I would have reviewed it, but you want to do a one-on-one private consultation now. Give me all your paperwork by express mail or priority mail as soon as possible. Because the sooner you act, the sooner we can stop it. Okay? But it all depends on what you've done in the past or not, and what the IRS have done or not. All the stuff I showed you, did you follow the proper procedures? I don't know. Did the IRS follow the proper procedures? I don't know. The only way I can find out is by getting your paperwork and doing analysis, okay? So go to our – okay, what you got to do, my friend, is this, okay? Here we go. To our website, go under – you need quick help. That's what you, this is for you, my friend, Frank. Get quick help. Click on that page, and here it is. Follow instructions on this page on getting quick help, and call us if you have to at 813-444-4800 if you want to. Tomorrow morning, first thing, okay? So I give you more – basic detailed directions. Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve, for your good words of support, my friend. Now, IB Fit asks, if I have moved to a few different addresses, is there any way to find out if the IRS notified you through mail at the old addresses? Ooh, what a great question. Good thing you listened to this call tonight, huh? First of all, immediately send a letter with the IRS, name, address, your Satan's surveillance number, SSN, IRS in DC. Here's my new address. All addresses before are no good. Sign, mail it. Certified green and white slip. Stamp, IRS address and name written in there. Keep it in your files. Number one, you must request a copy of their everything IRS sends you. During the coronavirus hoax, IRS is closed, basically. So right now, temporarily, you can't. But as soon as possible, when things go back to normal, yes, you can, under Freedom of Information Act request, get a copy of your files, everything they send you. You can do that. It'll take a while. Okay? All right. Some ALG wants to know about the 501c3 form for the churches. Well, the churches are becoming corporations under the Internal Revenue Code, which is they don't have to do it, but they do because they've been deceived. I'll have to talk about that, ALG, my friend, in another Freedom Hour in more detail. That's just a whole new topic, my friend. So thanks for reminding me. Write it down, Benny. We'll talk about the churches and 501c3 churches. We talk about corporations. In fact, let me tell you this. You like this? I give a surprise to you. Did you know even corporations in the 50 states are not liable for the income tax? Yeah. Amazon and Walmart. Walmart is based in 50 states. Legally, even Walmart is not required by the law as written by Congress. Not required to file the income tax. I'll prove it to you, just like I should. But don't believe me. Do not believe me. Okay, but that's the way law is written. There could be tax tomorrow if Congress wants to. They just haven't done it yet. So I'll cover more stuff later on, another future editions. Okay, so don't believe me until I show you, okay? Thank you for sharing our information, AGP, my friend. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. We got AGP and LG. I give you a lot of supportive comments. I appreciate that, guys. Thank you for your commentary. Okay. All right. I think we gotta give our call in number. No call ins. We'll put the number on, but we don't have it tonight. Not. I apologize, guys, due to technical issues. We don't have a call number. Let me give the number out. Folks, if you have a question live, you can ask. Call the number. I'll give you one time. 657-383-1755. It's on your screen, too. If you have a question, you call 657-383-1755. Then you push 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'll answer your question live. For example, the gentleman, Frank Lemon, had a lady question. You know, I could have tried to give you some kind of something on the call tonight, and you called versus just typed your question on YouTube. So that's what the numbers are for. So I can talk to you guys, help you for free. Okay? So, all right. So with that, folks, I'm going to be posting stuff about coronavirus hoax as well on YouTube. What you do, folks, is you forward it to your friends, you post it on your Facebook page. Don't put the word coronavirus on there. Put the word pandemic, okay, in there. Put the word hoax in there that they put up on us. So the Facebook filters don't catch the word coronavirus and filter you out, okay? So that they do that stuff, okay? So this way you can get this stuff out there, all right? Thank you. I love you for taking your precious time out of your schedule to listen to this information I've shared with you. So I hope you take the time to share it with your friends, family members, anybody you know out there, and be back with us next Thursday night, 7 p.m., at another edition of Freedom Law School, Law School's Freedom Hour, 7 p.m. sharp, every Thursday night. Good night, my friends.
And we're good.